Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's me. It's Lonesome Jack all by my lonesome up here in the Tiki Room at 88.5 KRFY, and you've tuned into the morning show on Thursday, March the 9th of 2017. Today, we'll be talking with Lauren Pilon about her upcoming performance at the East Bonner County Library, and then later on in the show, we're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming Friday gala in support of the SHS Grad Night festivities. Curious about that? Well, so am I. They'll be coming in around 8:30, and we'll be talking about that. Before I throw over to the Lauren Pilon interview that I pre-recorded over the telephone just a little while ago, why don't we talk a little bit about the weather? Light snow today. There is a winter weather advisory in effect from today, March 9th at 4 o'clock p.m. until tomorrow, March 10th at 6 o'clock a.m. And there is a hazardous weather outlook. So, you know, get that grocery shopping done early and try and stay off the roads tonight. Tonight, it does look like there's a 100% chance of rain, and the low is about 32 degrees. Today, rain and snow are likely, 60% chance of precipitation and a high of 37. That's snow, particularly before 10 a.m., and then rain and snow mixed between 10 and 1. Tomorrow, we're looking into the weekend. We've got showers tomorrow and a high near 44, southwest wind of 7 to 16 miles an hour, with gusty. As high as 28 miles an hour, that wind. A 90% chance of precipitation tomorrow. Amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch are possible tomorrow. Saturday looks like rain, mainly after 4 p.m. and a high near 42. Chance of precipitation is 80%. And rain continuing on Saturday night, mainly before 4 a.m. Sunday, a 40% chance of rain after 10. Mostly cloudy with a high near 44 degrees. And this rainy, cloudy, snowy weather pattern looks like it's just going to continue with highs in the 40s and lows in the low 30s. As far as my forecast permits me to look, this forecast provided to us by the National Weather Service. So that's as good as I can get for you. Lauren Pilon is coming to the East Bonner County Library, and she's coming this Sunday to perform and explain what she does. She's some combination of historian and musician. You'll find out more in our discussion. Let me first give you a little taste of the kind of music you might be hearing. She does sing as well as perform on 25 different instruments. This is simply an instrumental number, and then later on in the show, maybe we'll play one with a little vocal. But, it was International Women's Day. Why don't we play Sister to Sister by Lauren Pilon, and then right into a conversation with Lauren Pilon on the telephone, recorded not very long ago. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Thank you for joining us. Here we go. Thank you. I'm talking with Lauren Pilon, the musician who's going to be performing at the Bonner County Library on Sunday, March the 12th at 2 p.m., performing a show, The Living Roots of Music. Lauren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and it's really nice to be talking with you.
Tell us about this show for those who haven't even heard of it. It looks like a really interesting and wide-ranging show that you're going to be putting on. I guess a show presentation, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, it is a concert, but I will be using about 25 different ancient and modern instruments. So I also talk a little bit in this particular show, which is called The Living Roots of Music. I'll also talk a little bit about the history of all the various wind and string and free reed instruments that I'll be using.
And my goodness, 25 instruments is that's an enormous number of instruments, Lauren.
Well, there's quite a variety. I use some very ancient instruments like lutes and recorders and gemshorns and double reed instruments, and I have a hurdy-gurdy. And then I'll also use some modern instruments, an electric wind instrument and a MIDI pedal board. I will be singing as well, and I'll do music from all around the world and also quite a few of my own compositions.
So from the oldest instrument that you have up to the electric wind or the MIDI pedal board, what do you say the range in years is of the types of instruments you play?
Well, it certainly goes up to contemporary times, but I also, I guess if I look back, it'd probably be the bone flute. I have an eagle bone flute, and I would say bone flutes probably go the furthest back into history. So we're covering quite a few centuries. And some of the music I do also does, for example, I will do just a little fragment of an ancient Greek piece, and that would go back to the first century.
The bone flute you have, is it just called a bone flute, or is it actually made of bone?
Well, it's cast from an eagle bone, but it's actually made out of porcelain. It looks like it's a bone, but this particular one is cast from an eagle bone because it would not be legal to actually have an eagle bone.
I was kind of thinking something about it like that. It's a flute that originally, it could have been made, I guess we would say, from the bone of an eagle.
Yes, bones were used early on in history. I'm not sure particularly about the eagle bone flute, but the eagle bone flute was used in Native American cultures.
Huh. That's very interesting. So bones, anything else, any other interesting components to any of these instruments?
Well, I have quite a few instruments that come from, or that were used, I should say, in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. So I have a hurdy-gurdy, which is a stringed instrument, but it's also a keyboard instrument. It has a wheel that acts like a bow, so it's kind of a cross between a mechanical instrument and a bowed instrument. So that's a rather unusual one because of all of the different components. Gemshorns are a real favorite of mine. Originally, those were made from the horn of a chamois, but then later on from the horn of oxen. They could be carved out of ivory, and then eventually made out of cow's horns. And so mine are made out of cow's horns. I have a soprano, an alto, a tenor, and a bass. I have an arch lute, which is a type of lute that was used in the 17th century, and that has 19 strings. So some pretty unusual instruments. I use a concertina. People are probably familiar with that instrument. It was invented by a scientist in England in 1829, and mine was made around 1870, so it's really quite an old and valuable antique instrument.
Yeah. My goodness, that is quite a list. And you seem to have found the junction between being a historian and being a musician here.
Well, I would say I'm primarily a musician, but I do love the history and the story of music. So I enjoy that part as well.
How did you
include a little bit of that in the program?
How did you become a musician, and how did you choose this particular path in your music?
Well, it's been a real process, because when I started performing, I really used just recorders, and I started performing early music, and that was quite a while back. And since then, I've traveled all over the world. I've collected instruments. I've learned how to play them. I've played a lot of different styles. One of the it's the process has been deciding to really combine all of these different styles and music from different countries, and writing my own music and trying to blend them, so that really one of the effects I'm trying to achieve with the music is to reflect some of the roots of the music, but at the same time reflect our modern age. And so when I arrange music or when I compose music, I have that in mind. So it's been this long, gradual process of just kind of figuring out what exactly my style is, which includes all of these different elements from many countries and cultures and time periods.
So you take a look at music and music within the context of the culture that it came out of, I guess. And my question then is, do you find there's more similarities in the way different ancient cultures used music, or were they all using it kind of in different and unique ways?
Oh, I think there are many, many similarities, and that one of my interests is to bring out those similarities. There are, of course, many, many, many differences as well, but in what I'm trying to do with my music, it's to try to blend those styles into something that creates my own style.
So you play originals as well as you were just saying, you play originals as well as, I guess, would we call them classics? Or is there a word for something that's even older than a classic, an ancient tune?
I will be doing, yes.
And
the music that I do from other countries and cultures, I really do arrange that music, so I'm not trying to play it authentically. I am blending these styles together in my arrangements and in my compositions.
Oh, cool. So this will be something you won't be able to see anywhere else, I guess.
Well, I don't really know where you would see it.
So the have you ever been up in or over in this neck of the woods before? Joining?
I have. I've actually performed in every state.
Whoa.
And every province. So I've been performing for quite some time. So I've performed in many places. And I'm, in this particular tour, I will also be playing in Hayden.
Mm.
At the library in Hayden. And then I will, from there, I also have some concerts in Montana, and then a lot that will be in Washington and in Oregon.
Well, cool. So you're on a tour right now of the United States, but you've been all over the world playing your music.
Well, I've been several times to New Zealand and Australia, and several times to England and Ireland and Scotland. I've performed in China and Russia and Kazakhstan.
Do you have a favorite musical place in the world, a favorite musical time period or a physical location that the music comes from?
That my music comes from, or
yeah,
a place that I really appreciate musically?
How about both?
I really I've enjoyed touring Ireland. I do. I mean, I have appreciated their music for a long, long time, but it was really a great experience to be able to go over there and perform as well. So I think that's, if I had to pick one place, that might be it. When I was in Russia, I did not get to hear a lot of music there, but I really enjoyed that experience as well, and in Kazakhstan and China, and had the opportunity to hear many different kinds of music from the minorities, especially in those countries. And that was just an amazing experience.
Do you think we use music today as a society, or even as a species? Do we use it today more or less the same we always have, or has it changed over time?
I think music has always served a really, really important part in all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that sense, we definitely are using it in a very, very similar way because it's such an important part of the culture.
We should talk about the who, what, where, when, why. Like, for example, who do you think might like to come see your show at the library? Who's your target audience here?
I play for all different ages and all different kinds of people. So I think my ideal audience is a very large mixture of people from different places in their lives and different ages. And I do think in that sense it's rather universal, and it I think could appeal to anyone that might like a variety of musical styles and musical instruments.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be playing another one of your songs at the end of our conversation here, and I'm sure that many of our listeners will agree with that statement. Will you be taking questions from the audience or anything like that after the show?
Oh, I always try to save a little bit of time. Very informal. So,
yeah.
So people may leave if they want to, but I do enjoy a few moments at the end to talk with people and just get their comments and questions.
Cool. It's, in case you don't have the information at your fingertips, it's at the Bonner County Library at 1407 Cedar Street in Sandpoint on Sunday, March the 12th of 2017 at 2:00 in the afternoon. Thank you very much for talking to us, and also thank you for coming to town, bringing this, I would say, unique performance to town. I can't imagine anyone in our listening radius will be able to get this kind of presentation anywhere else.
Well, thank you so much, Jack. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm looking forward to visiting Sandpoint.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Anything else in closing before I take us back to the morning show?
Is Hayden in your listening area?
Barely. We do get down there a little bit. If you were sitting in Hayden, you're probably hearing us pretty staticky, but the commute between is pretty clean. So, yeah, we do hear. I'm sure that some of the people who are hearing you will also be interested to know the information about Hayden. Why don't you give us that if you've got it?
I do. That is on Friday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m., and that's at the Hayden Community Library. And I'll be doing the same program there. So that will also be the Living Roots of Music program. I offer a variety of programs, but both of them, I let the communities choose, and they both chose the Living Roots of Music. The Hayden Community Library is, I have the address as well, 8385 North Government Way. And that's 6:30 p.m. on Friday, March 10th.
The show is called The Living Roots of Music, and the list of instruments, I'm not sure that I could pronounce them or even give them. Do you? if my brain could remember more than a few of them, but it's quite a list. And you play them all by yourself, Lauren?
I do.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, again, I guess I'll say thank you and return us to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Searching for a dream that could
You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Lonesome Jack. No co-host for me this morning here in the Tiki Room. But I do have two guests sitting with me here. We have Lisa Crabb, the co-chair of the auction committee, and Jackie Rucker, the committee coordinator for Sandpoint High School's Grad Night 2017. Good morning to you both. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Let's talk first about the upcoming event, which is actually happening tomorrow. Who's in charge of this? Who should I ask about the SHS Grad Night, the fundraiser itself?
Well, I guess I would say me, Jackie.
Jackie, there we go.
But I definitely couldn't be doing this without Lisa and Tangi Ferguson and quite a few other lovely ladies and dads out there helping us. So
yes.
But yeah, tomorrow night at the Pondere Event Center, which is at 401 Barner Mall Way, starting at 5:00, we're going to have a silent auction. And then around 6:30, Wendy Sater and the Hoot Owl is catering dinner for us. And then we're going to start
That's great dinner for us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Excited about it, too. She's going to do her infamous ribs, so that should be delicious. Yeah. And then we're going to start our live auction at 7:00 with Jeff Sater as our auctioneer. And this is all just to raise funds for our grad night party for the seniors at the Sandpoint High School.
Cool. And Lisa, you can tell us a little more about the auction, I take it.
We've got tons of donators that have been great help from the community. Actually far more than we kind of anticipated. We've got, I think at least 15 live auction, things that we're donating off. And, you know, just to name a few of them, a Schweitzer adult ski pass, a Hawaii condo, I mean, some really great stuff. And they've been so gracious as to donate, you know, year after year for these things. So it's really great. The event itself is on graduation night, and it's out at the fairgrounds. And it, you know, it's a big event. It takes a lot to put this on. And so this auction is the main fundraiser for this very large event. But, you know, it's for a really great cause. You know, it keeps our kids safe, keeps them off the streets and partying out there, and keeps them together for their last night of graduation.
Yeah. I went to a grad night. How long has this been going on in Sandpoint?
Like an organized grad? Since 1974.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. So we're actually getting parents who've actually attended their own grad night party, helping for their kids' grad night party, and some grandparents too.
Cool.
So yeah, it's been around a long time.
Well, and to see so many people year after year want to help and continue to help, not only the donators, but the parents, the grandparents, things like that. I mean, you know, they're willing to stay up in these god-awful hours of the night to be with these kids and make sure they're safe and having fun.
So that happens on the night of graduation, June 9th?
June 9th.
June 9th, yep. Yes.
And you guys are still maybe looking for volunteers for that kind of thing.
We are.
Yes.
We need quite a few volunteers. We have an entertainment company that comes in and brings in all the games. And so we need a lot of volunteers to help run those games, as well as help us with prize raffles and all kinds of things for the kids. Check in, check out.
Keeping things organized, making sure food is on the tables for these guys so that they're not, you know, getting too bored, but they don't get bored at all. I mean, I've heard lots of kids talk about it and they have a great time. They stay all night. They stay until we're done. So
that's out at the fairgrounds.
It is. It's not. Yes.
Not yes. at the high school or anything.
Not at the high school, at the fairgrounds. Yeah, it needs to be a bigger scene for that. So yeah, the fairgrounds has put it on for us every year, or has hosted it for us every year. And the volunteers have to help not only with running the games, but like clean up and things like that. But there are shifts, so you don't have to be there, you know, from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. You can take a shift, and it's not quite as, you know, not quite as intimidating then.
And you don't have to be a parent or grandparent or sibling or anything to volunteer to.
Nope. You just need to be an adult. We just need to have adults out there. And like Lisa was saying, we're doing it in two shifts. And our goal is to hopefully get non-senior parents, so that the senior parents who have graduation parties and family to entertain maybe don't have to be there that night. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them just want to be there anyway because it's their kid. So, you know, we're getting support that way, but we're hoping to reach out more to the community for the volunteers so that these senior parents can go take care of their families that are all in there and handle all their parties they have to take care of.
Right. I didn't really, didn't think about that, but of course there's plenty
to do.
A lot of other stuff that they'll be focused on at the time.
For sure.
What's your guys' relationship here with the, how do you get hooked up with SHS Grad Night?
Well, I actually started it or worked on it a couple years ago with my daughter, who's now a sophomore at Boise State. And then I have two seniors. My stepson and my son are both seniors this year. Mm-hmm. And then I have two freshmen, my stepson and my son. So I'll be doing this again in a couple years.
And I have my first graduating senior this year. She's set to go to Eastern Washington. And it's pretty exciting for us to have our first senior, but it's also very overwhelming. There's a lot happening all at once, you know, in addition to this grad night stuff. So it's great. And then I have two other daughters up and coming. So again, I'll be right here with Jackie.
Yeah. Lisa and I'll be doing this for a while.
You'll hear our names.
Yeah.
So I've only ever experienced this from as a student. And I am kind of curious. It all happens very mysteriously. Like from the student's perspective, I have no idea when my parents were doing it or how it was all getting put together. And then all of a sudden we show up and it's all, you know, it's very, very elaborate in most cases, many cases. Yes. I don't know. you have been involved once before. Mm-hmm. Is there some continuation from year to year?
Typically there is. Yeah. Usually they have picked the mom of the senior class president to run it, but we're kind of going to change that up a little bit. That seems to be a big stressor. Mm-hmm. For one woman to suddenly take on.
Well, and it's such a huge event to change hands every single year. I mean, it would go so much more streamlined, we're finding, if there was a different way to go about that. So we're pursuing that for sure. And then again, you know, you don't want to discourage your child for running for senior class president just because the parent doesn't want to run grad night.
Which I have done. I threatened my children, don't do it. And then here I am anyway. So it didn't work.
it is... sort of interesting that it all comes together every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, is the faculty involved in this as well?
Nope, not unless they have a senior parent. I mean, we have a faculty member is a senior parent. I mean, we have a faculty member now who has a senior. This is her last senior.
Yeah,
she's going to be an empty nester. So that's when the faculty gets involved. But generally, I mean, of course, the high school wants to support it. So they allow us to advertise around the building and, you know, things like that. And and on like the morning announcements and things like that. And they do what they can to support it for sure. Allow us to fundraise at the games, things like that. But generally, no, they have to say that they aren't the ones that put it on. It is the parents that put it together. So,
Should we talk a little bit about the reason that you have a grad night instead of, or an organized grad night instead of, you know, everybody splitting up, kind of doing their own thing?
Well, the tradition started with parents that wanted to give their kids an alternative means to celebrate that gives them a safe drug and alcohol free environment. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just mainly been born out of the love of wanting our kids to be able to enjoy their graduation, but enjoy it without regret and without, you know, the tragedies that come along. And statistically, it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, the statistics are surprising for most people. I mean, it shows that things get worse around graduation time. Anytime it arrives, the percentage for automobile fatalities that involve alcohol jumps from 33% to 40% on graduation night. So, I mean, these, before I was involved with putting this on, I read that and I was shocked. Literally, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, really? I mean, we were all kids once. We know how grad night goes. But I mean, I guess it didn't seem that it was that kind of a statistic. So yeah. 1/3 of those under the age of 21 who die in accidents lose their lives during their graduation season. What an awful time for that. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're just do our little part yeah. to try to keep that from happening. So,
Is there anything that's not secretive? Anything you can tell us about what might be going on grad night?
Well, we kind of alluded a little bit to the entertainment warehouse out of Spokane providing us with all the games. And we alluded a little bit, there will be raffle prizes.
Yeah, lots very, of good raffle prizes good for the kids.
Raffle prizes yeah. for the kids. It's kind of hard to tell
should
too
we,
much.
I was going to say, should we tell them a couple? Let's see. Let me look through our thing and see.
We will have like, they'll get gas cards, gift cards, things mm-hmm. like that. We do have a fair bit of those coming
and then
on.
Movie cards, mm-hmm. you know, of course, little things like that. But we have a couple of bigger things. One of the things they could win at grad night is a futon frame yeah. with a mattress that's donated by Sandpoint yeah. Furniture. So, I mean, there's, I don't want to tell too many. And we have more coming, of course. Yeah, so, you know, do. As it gets closer, we'll be hinting to the seniors at what they can come and anticipate. So.
Yeah.
But the entertainment warehouse is wonderful as far as really organizing the games and things for us. We then just end up running them. I mean, they yeah. really help yep. set them all up and we just help decorate and run them and it works pretty well.
Yeah. And they've been a great sponsor too, because we were a little late getting off the floor running with this year. So they are allowing us to wait until we get our auction done to really start paying them for their services. Mm-hmm. And they just work with us and they actually work with a lot of the Coeur d'Alene schools, Spokane schools as well. So it's kind of a privilege for us to have them come up here and mm-hmm. take care of us like they're doing.
And they were extremely patient with yeah. We got a little bit of a slow start. And so we were a little behind in scheduling our date and they were really, really helpful to yeah. hold a date for us. I mean, amongst all those other high schools. So yeah. that was very nice.
What's the day look like for a graduating senior? Is it the actual day of the graduation, the walk?
Yes,
and, it is.
Yes.
And then what happens? Do you go home and then to the party or?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, they go home to their families and some families will yeah. have their grad party that afternoon or things like that as opposed to waiting till the next day. But the grad night event at the fairground starts at 10 p.m. that night. And so, and they can come a little bit early. Yeah. I mean, you know, they can start showing up around 9:30 and things like that. And we feed them there.
Because graduation is actually at 6:30. That night.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
The ceremony's at 6:30. So, and it usually takes about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so that'll give them a little bit of time to go home and change and yeah. tell mom and dad bye.
I didn't realize graduation was that late this year.
Is.
Wow. See, I'm learning something yeah. new too.
Yeah.
I should know that.
Now you do. Those veteran parents.
It's at the graduation itself, I think, is at Memorial Field.
Yes.
As long as everything's.
Yes. The yeah. brand new Memorial Field. Yeah. As long as everything's right on track.
Yeah. yeah. Even if it rains, they said they'll still hold it there. So
yeah.
Hopefully we've always had good weather in the past. So hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah.
I've been to one. At Memorial Field in the rain, I think, but more of a drizzle. And, yeah. you know, the sun came out right at the right time.
Perfect time.
Of course.
Good.
Or it seemed like it did anyway. So the event again tomorrow night, let's talk about that. Now, that is not for kids. This is for adults.
No, this is yes. for all of us parents to celebrate all this hard work.
Yes, only adults, of course, because there's drinks there. And, yeah. you know, you pay $25 to come in the door. That gets you your dinner and one drink ticket. And then, of course, we have a cash bar that people can, you know, purchase further drinks if they'd like. And that drink ticket is good for one glass of wine or beer, your choosing. Mm-hmm. We have some tables that are already preset tables of 8. And those tables, I don't remember what's all. You talk about those tables. What all do they get in those tables?
On those were tables that they could buy in advance. So we offered some reserved seating. And in addition to their drink tickets and their dinner, they also got a choice of the dessert, which we will be having a live dessert auction. And so, excuse me, so they will get to go in and pick out some of their dessert before we auction off all the rest of the desserts. They will also get their table centerpiece, and then they get up closer to the auctioneer.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit better seating than the rest of the group.
Yeah.
But we have already sold all those.
Oh, we only did those pre-sale. Yes, yes, yes. So now just at the door tickets. So just the $25 dinner and drink ticket that gets you in. And that gets you a bidding number. And then you can come on in and figure out all the things you need.
Yeah, and we have well over 50 silent auction items easily. Over 50.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a bit of stuff.
Jeff Sader is the auctioneer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is he like a real one of those?
He's great. Yeah, he's really great. He has it down. He's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. And Wendy with the Hoot Owl, she's just phenomenal. We're so lucky to get these guys again, especially because we got such a late start on things. And they were just like, oh, that's no big deal. Like Ivano's, they just
stepped right up,
helping us out with serving the beer and the wine, and just, you know, no one said, oh, no way, we're not. Yeah, we're. They just were great. And we've had some amazing community support. I'm so relieved, because we were so worried, being such a late start, that we weren't going to be able to put on something that the kids would enjoy and remember.
Right. But again, it's
turned out great.
Huge event.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And this, again, these same donations, like we keep this list from year to year, and we are able to go back to them each year and say, hey, can we count on you again? And they are open arms. I mean, very, very little opposition do we get. So it's awesome. Cause I mean, especially for what we're trying to protect, we're trying to protect the kids in our community, and we have nothing but community support doing that. So it's awesome.
And we probably should mention some of those supporters too, especially Napa Auto Parts, Neiman's Floral, Sandpoint Furniture and Carpet One. They took care of all of our advanced ticket sales for us, in addition to and some amazing donations that they've made. Encoder donated the Hawaii condo for us. We have Idaho Forest Group donating a big unit of lumber as an auction item.
Lumber,
also,
Douglas
they all
lumber.
Bought tickets, so they're spending quite a bit of money just coming to the party as well.
We have a really cool thing, a teepee stay, believe it or not. That one was really neat. It comes with like a basket of wine and some books and a really beautiful teepee, like a camping teepee night. I think it's a two-night stay, actually. And it's right on the river, isn't it? Is it on the river?
So.
Yeah. It's really great. Some things you wouldn't even like. You're like, that is awesome. Thank you. So,
Sandpoint Superdrug is paying for our rent at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. They're covering our rent out there for us. So they're a big sponsor. It's just amazing the list of people that we have. We have several pages of donors. And of course, we'd love to rattle them all off if we could think of them all.
I'm thinking of the ones that surprised me a little bit. Like Waste Management is offering a dumpster service at your home for a month. Isn't it a month?
Yeah.
So they leave a dumpster at your house for 1 month, and you're allowed to just put anything you can fit in that thing. Spring cleaning of your house, and it goes.
Yeah. So.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Things you wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
Let's see. So again, we got we talked about the details of the of what's going on tomorrow night. Should mention again the volunteers needed. Who do we get in touch with if somebody's interested in volunteering for grad night or other?
We have an email address if people are interested, or if they have questions about tomorrow night, or questions about more questions than what we covered for grad night. And that is SHS grad night 2017. And I'll spell that out. SHS grad night 2017 at AOL.com. That's the best way to get a hold of us, and and if there's questions, you know, just shoot them at us. And again, we're doing this,
and of course, if you're willing to volunteer, we'll take you.
Doing this for the kids.
An able body.
We would love to see everybody come out tomorrow night though and have some fun.
And that, one more time, the details of that, and where can you get tickets?
You can get tickets at the door, and it's so the event is tomorrow night, March 10th. Doors open at 5 o'clock at the Pondere Event Center upstairs. So we have that whole upstairs floor, and we'll start serving dinner at 6:30, and then the silent auction actually starts when the doors open. So as soon as you get there at 5, you can start looking at the silent auction items, and then the live auction starts at 7.
Yeah.
It's $25 at the door. And that gets you your dinner and a drink ticket. We do also have complimentary non-alcoholic drinks. So if you want iced tea,
that's
lemonade,
along with your dinner ticket.
Yeah. And you don't have to buy drink tickets for those. So,
Well, great.
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else you want to mention at the last minute, I'm going to play a little music for us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Great.
Yeah.
And yeah, have fun tomorrow night and again on June 9th.
Thank you.
Coming up next, I am going to play a little music from, it's John Cale of the Velvet Underground. It's his birthday today. He was born in 1942, so that makes him, 75 years old? So he's 75 years old today. He was an instrumental figure in the Velvet Underground. His relationship with Lou Reed pretty much defined that band, and you'll hear him here on Sunday morning. He's playing the electric viola. That's a very, very distinctive sound. So here we go. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Back with more after this. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show. Sunday Morning by the Velvet Underground with John Cale there on electric viola, I believe. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Lonesome Jack all by myself up here in the studio. Just said good morning to Lisa Crabb and Jackie Rucker from the Sandpoint High School Grad Night 2017. And earlier in the show, talked a little bit to Lauren Pilon. And right now I'm looking at what else is going on this weekend. We've talked about two events, and we've talked about them quite a bit. But let's see what else we have here in the upcoming events calendar. excuse me. Let's make sure we have our background music at the appropriate level. There we go. Oh, that'll be just nice. Coming up tonight at the beer hall, the McDuff's Beer Hall Thursday Night Solo Series is from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. tonight. And then on tomorrow on the 10th at the Idaho Poor Authority, we've got Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. That's, again, on the 10th tomorrow night from 5:30 until 7:30 p.m. At the Idaho Poor Authority next week, that's Wednesday, March 15th, do come on down and say hello to us. We, ourselves, KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, at the Idaho Poor Authority, we'll be there again with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond, providing music for us, and we will be having ourselves a little meet and greet and fundraiser at the Idaho Poor Authority featuring Grand Teton Brewing, committed to crafting the highest quality ales and lagers, as they say. That's from Victor, Idaho. And let's see. Yeah, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority. We'll all be down there. Please do come on down and join us. That's next Wednesday. But going on this weekend, Second Fridays with Ron Green at McDuff's Beer Hall. That's from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Green is an excellent instrumentalist and singer, performer. He's heading north for another special night, a dynamic musical presence as a professional musician and solo artist for the last decade in the Northwest and West Coast region. Free and open to the public. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall on the 10th, tomorrow night. Contra Dance tomorrow night. How about that? All are invited to attend a community dance in the New England tradition. A Contra Dance starting at 7 p.m. in Sandpoint Community Hall. Oh, yes. It's Contra Dance time again. All dances are taught and called with live music. Beginners and singles are welcome. New dancers are encouraged to arrive in time for the beginning to start with the basics. Bring clean shoes and a water bottle. Sponsored by Lost Horse Press and Sandpoint Parks and Rec. That's on the second Friday of every month, and that is tomorrow night. Oh, Big Something is playing at the Hive. This is it's a big time jam band, and that's tomorrow night and Saturday night. Doors open at 7 p.m. each night, and the show starts at 8 p.m. Go to livefromthehive.com for more information about that. The band is Big Something. Going on this weekend and continuing next weekend, Once Upon a Mattress. We talked to some of the crew and some of the cast from Once Upon a Mattress. We talked to them just last week here on the morning show, and it was delightful. They're going to put on quite a show for you at the Panada Theater. That's tomorrow, the 10th and the 11th, and then again the 16th through the 18th. It's a it's written by the music by Mary Rogers of the daughter of the Rogers of Rogers and Hammerstein. You'll be delighted. The musical is directed by Jeannie Hunter, with student director Skyra, musical director John Brownell, choreographer Laurie Bruck, and costume designer Angie Aller. If you thought you knew the story of The Princess and the Pea, you are in for a walloping surprise. It's a rollicking spin on the Hans Christian Andersen classic. That's you can go to the Growing Dreams Productions Facebook page or call 267-1325 or go to panda.org or stop by the box office for more information about that. Live music at the 219er, Harold's IGA from 9 p.m. to midnight at the 219 Lounge. That's tomorrow night. It's a wonderful multi-instrumental trio. If you haven't heard Harold's IGA, I don't know where you've been. Obviously not around here. They play folk rock originals and some covers, as they say, off-the-beaten-track covers from artists like Ween, Talking Heads, and the Violent Femmes. That's at the 219 Bar, and it is a non-smoking environment nowadays. Going on Saturday night at the Poor Authority, John Fershey is playing some live music. We've got at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, Ron Stones and Royalty 2017 this Saturday. That's from 5:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. Dinner, family fun, dessert dash, auctions, plus live music and dancing with the one and only Devin Wade Band, the biggest country band in our area. This celebration and its proceeds help the Bonner County Royalty make a bigger impact as they promote our community, our fair, and our award-winning rodeo throughout the region this year. The rodeo royalty alone are currently scheduled for over 68 different appearances. You can help them out by going to the Rhinestones and Royalty event out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. That's from 5:30 p.m. until 10:30 p.m. this Saturday. Oh boy, then we're looking ahead into next week, and there's plenty going on, including the Geezer Forum at the Tango Cafe on the 14th. That's next Tuesday, hosted by Elder Advocates, and it is the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month, which includes that. Don't forget that on Tuesday there is a local election going on. The Lake Pend Oreille School District is holding their replacement supplemental levy election. That's this Tuesday. Polls are open from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. And then also on the 14th, that's Tuesday, Memory Cafe at Kokanee Coffee. It's a casual gathering providing socialization, interaction, and fellowship for persons diagnosed with Alzheimer's or other related dementia and for their care partners. For more information, contact PJ Christo at the Alzheimer's Association, 666-2996, extension 8314. That's on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month at Kokanee Coffee. So, there we go. We've got plenty going on this weekend. I tell you what, don't forget about Lauren Pilon and the event going on tomorrow night at the Pondre Events Center. That's the SHS Grad Night 2017 Dinner and Auction Fundraiser. Now I'm fresh out of time. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, broadcasting out of Pondre with studios in downtown Sandpoint. We're going to start off Otto's Eclectic Mix right after Bird Note with a song that finally hit number one in 1991 after 10 years of release when it was featured in a jeans commercial. That's the only UK number one by The Clash. But first, Bird Note. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. Please stay tuned.